This podcast is brought to you by MyScore IQ. MyScore IQ services are here to help you be prepared when it comes to making big financial decisions, such as buying or refinancing your home or purchasing that new car. Try it out for only $1 for a 7-day trial. You'll receive your FICO scores from all three major credit bureaus, along with active credit report monitoring and alerts for changes to your credit report and possible suspicious activity.
MyScore IQ services can help you be in the best position possible when you take that step to apply for a home or auto loan, all for $1 for a 7-day trial. Visit MyScoreIQ.com/Todd to learn more. That's MyScoreIQ.com/Todd.
So I wanted to take the opportunity today to dive in a little bit into the ongoing global semiconductor microchip shortage. So for those of you who don't know, and we've talked about semiconductors on this show many times before, and so later Todd will get into the specific semiconductor stocks that are worth looking at right now. But basically you can think of a semiconductor as a small computer chip that goes into just about anything that's digital in any way. So we've seen interruptions in the supply chain for cars, for computers, obviously. So anything that has a computer chip in it is going to be affected by this, which these days is almost everything. I mean, that's your appliances, right? It's your smartphones, automobiles, I said. And as we keep going on with this, I'll think of more and more examples. So first, I wanted to give just like a really high level, holistic look at this. So you viewers and listeners can kind of see why this is happening and what it's going to affect and how you can kind of prepare for it, even though it's already kind of happening, and then also hedge against it. So there are a lot of reasons why this is happening, just kind of a culmination of all sorts of different small to mid-scale events that have really added up and have hindered the production of semiconductor firms and semiconductor factories, specifically over in Asia. So Taiwan Semiconductor is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Todd, is that fair to say? Yeah. So it's really interesting, actually. There's a drought, an ongoing drought in Taiwan, which means that the factories that make these semiconductors in Taiwan have not been able to produce at their regular full production rate, because evidently they need some amount of water, I guess a significant amount of water, to cool all of their machines. I don't know the ins and outs. I'm no manufacturing expert by any means. Additionally, there was another semiconductor factory in Japan, I guess a pretty big one, that suffered a fire and has been essentially offline for quite some time now. And I didn't know this, but apparently there are also semiconductor factories and facilities in Texas. And so back when that big deep freeze happened, what was that, in February, I think? We talked about it on one of our episodes. I believe it was in February, though. That also created some disruptions that are just really just trickling their way down all these different pipelines throughout the economy. So back to what's effective. Let's see if I missed anything in my list here. Yeah, so anything that connects to the internet. So this whole, you know, IoT, Internet of Things revolution. So it, especially if you have a newer home, you have a lot of things in your home that have semiconductors in them. So your Nest thermostat, your refrigerator, your washer dryer, your television, laptops, desktops, phones, tablets, smartwatches, anything that either connects to the internet or has a display has one of these in it. And so it's tough to say right now how that's going to impact prices. Specifically, I do know that PC components, so people who shop for PC parts and then build their own PC for gaming or crypto mining or just for personal use, the graphics card is like the most expensive component of one of those, generally speaking. The prices of those have approximately doubled since this time last year. Wow. So, I mean, the graphics card is really just a big, fancy semiconductor. And so you can understand why. And those are made by the big semiconductor companies, specifically the two biggest ones are NVIDIA and AMD. Motorola is in there as well. So that is really like one of the first areas that we've already seen some sort of effect. I know also there's been some news in the past week or so about I believe it was GM, Ford, and maybe Nissan had to cut production in half at some of their facilities in North America. So this is going to lead to higher car prices, probably both new and used cars, I would think, especially if Ford is only able to produce like half the F-150s that they usually do. And then it really becomes more of a discussion between the two of us, Todd, because we could kind of debate and speculate and kind of go back and forth about, well, what businesses are actually going to see a financial impact from this. And so I know the automakers are going to be hurting. Where was the stat I had? Ford and GM both have said recently that their profits will be reduced by at least $1 billion each because of this shortage in this fiscal year. So that's significant. I mean, I don't know how much profit Ford made last year, but probably only a few billion, I would think, right?
Yeah, those are big numbers. And, you know, I think that's, Pete, you're right, that people aren't really paying as much attention to it maybe as they should, although we are seeing a lot of talk in DC and trying to convene together, maybe like focus groups or you know, people to get people together in a room and try and figure out, okay, how can we overcome some of this supply chain disruption and boost capacity so we can actually meet the demand that's out there. You're right. They're doing these rolling shutdowns of assembly lines, which obviously is going to reduce the number of units that you could sell. It may, on the other side of the things, provide a little bit of pricing power because maybe you won't have to discount the vehicle or the whatever product it is that you're producing as much. And certainly some companies, it looks like they may enjoy some pricing power, probably in the middle though. I'm not sure to what degree NVIDIA and AMD and those guys are going to actually jack up prices and kind of hurt the people who are buying from them most consistently over time. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with pricing from there. I think one of the things that we've seen, and we've been talking about semiconductors as moving up in the ranking and being viable since last fall. I think one of the things that you need to start doing now though is becoming a little bit more selective in figuring out which of these you want to own, which of those you don't. NVIDIA is one we talked about on the show recently. I think that that's one you can absolutely buy because I think long-term tailwinds towards next-gen chips are pretty strong. And so that's one that I would definitely have on my radar as one to buy. I think you really can look at the semiconductor equipment stocks as well, because think about it. If the goal of anything out of Washington or anywhere else is to increase capacity and maybe even build in some redundancy in supply of chips, well, that means that people are going to have to buy the machines that are used to make chips. So, you know, that provides a nice natural tailwind for you know, some of the companies that are in the semi equipment space. The other thing that I would throw out there is that the industry is a little bit notorious for the people who consume the chips for overinflating their orders. So ordering more than they really need to try and move up the chain and get more faster so I think a lot of these chip manufacturers are trying their best to balance what they're viewing as real demand against what supply they can create, even though on the order book, it looks like even more is necessary. It might be that some people are inflating what it is they actually need. And Joe, if you want, I can share my screen and we can talk about some of the highest scoring still in semiconductor.
Sure, go right ahead.
All right, so I'll go ahead and do that. And if you're listening on one of the platforms, just know we do post these on YouTube. So you can pull these up and you know, look at the charts alongside of us when you get home or to a computer. And you can see right now I have the semiconductor ETF, the XSD. Joe, you can see that on the screen?
Yep.
Okay, great. And you can see that really the big part of that move was here at the end of October and then running all the way up through mid-February. And since then, it's kind of been trading sideways. I will say some of the individual stocks ran longer than this. I actually was starting to take off some of my own personal exposure in January, trying to get out in front of what I view as seasonal cyclicality to the book-to-bill ratio, which is orders and divided by orders shipped or fulfilled by tends to run in a normal seasonal cycle that typically starts to run out of steam once we get into the second quarter. So I had sold off too early some of these stocks. But right now we're still operating in this channel and we can certainly continue to move higher. And if I look at more closely at the seasonality, it looks like May to June is where you really start to peak out and then start to trend down in the third quarter. And then you usually get a nice run again beginning in that fourth quarter. So if you're trying to figure out, okay, how should I be treating these or looking at these going forward? Maybe that's kind of the model that you have inside of your head. I wanted to take a look at some specific stocks that you're still interested in hunting for some of these. And right now, Joe, what I'm looking at is just an Excel spreadsheet where I've broken out the highest scoring of the semi stocks. And one of the things you'll notice, Joe, by looking at this, the top is dominated by what?
Equipment, just like you were talking about.
Yeah, semi equipment and materials are definitely the highest scoring in our works. We got Ichor Holdings, ASML, Lam Research, and then Nova Measuring. So if you look at Ichor, ICHR is the symbol there. And you can see, wow, what a big move it had coming up here in March and rising up here into early April. And now it's trending sideways here. And you know, above this 21-day moving average, I would be interested in buying it. So I'd be buying it anywhere in this 59 area. And then I could sell if it broke the 21-day moving average or not. But we get 29% year-over-year revenue growth in the December quarter. We've got 22% expected earnings growth next year, 25% expected earnings growth this year. And what this company, Joe, does is it does a lot of manufacturing for these semi-equipment companies. So, you know, I don't know if they work with Lam, but for example, if Lam doesn't want to manufacture all the parts for its equipment, maybe it would contract out with Ichor to build some of those components for it, right? ASML is another one in that semi-equipment space. And again, man, what a move that stock has had. Fell to 500 at the beginning of March, now all the way back to 646, 15% year-over-year revenue growth in the December quarter, 22% EPS growth expected this year, another 23% expected next year. And again, I'm fine with taking it up here and then running a stop underneath it to stop myself up below the 21-day moving average. And then Lam, which is kind of like I've always considered to be kind of the golden, you know, this is the one you want to own in semi equipment. You can see how it had that nice broke out of that channel. Looks like, when is that? Early first on April 1st. And now it's kind of digesting some of that. And again, not a lot of volume here as it's digesting. I think that this could go higher as well. You've got 34% year-over-year revenue growth in the December quarter and 57% year-over-year earnings growth expected this year. So those are the strongest scoring right now that maybe people want to throw in their watch list. And if they get a down day, take a swing at and add it to the portfolio. We'll be right back.